Hi, thanks for taking my question. In the letters on the mother, Sri Aurobindo wrote about how Mahakali and Krishna is a very powerful combination in the yoga, but he never really elaborates on that anywhere else that I've seen. So I was wondering if you might be able to elaborate on that.
Well, the combination of Krishna and Kali, of course we use the word Mahakali now because subsequent to the mother, writings in the mother, but in Sri Aurobindo's own yoga, it helped him a lot at a stage in his sadhana. And there was a time that Sri Aurobindo was so identified with Kali that he would sign off his letters as Kali. Of course, there are people give all kinds of logic, but Sri Aurobindo would sign off his letters as Kali. He was so identified. And if you look at the period before going to Pondicherry, we see that Krishna comes later. Many people talk about Krishna. Kali comes first. Bhavani Bharati. That's the poem in Sanskrit. It's a long poem, 99 verses. And Sri Aurobindo wrote that about, basically it's an invocation of that Kali power in the land. And yes, Kali is the power of the Divine Mother, which stands for the swift stride, the frontal stroke. So in yoga, individual yoga, in the collective life of the world, wherever, for example, there are upheavals, as we see going on all over the world, revolutions, we see this combination of Krishna and Kali. Krishna, we associated with gentle, nice flute player, yes. But we forget he was also the architect of Kurukshetra, the central figure. And when Sri Aurobindo was asked, you see in Karma Yogin, we will see a picture used to be published with each issue. It was the image of Sri Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. And when Sri Aurobindo was asked which aspect of Sri Krishna you were in contact with, he said Sri Krishna of Kurukshetra. So whenever there is a great upheaval, a great change. But this is one part of it. I have given a talk on Kali, and so I don't want to repeat that. But if you see, there is a whole story in very short in Mahabhagavat Purana, one of the main Puranas, that Shiva once speaks to Kali and he says, you know what, I give me your teaching. And she gives a teaching, but she says, two of the teachings I can give you, but the third you cannot understand. Why? He says, because you have to be a woman to understand it. And so he says, what do I do about it? He says, okay, let's switch roles and I will become a man and you become a woman in one of our sojourns on earth. And it seems that Shyama or Kali became Shyama, Krishna. And Shiva became Radha to understand that what it is to become a woman. It may sound just a story, but there is an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo. When I knew that God is a woman, I learned something from far off about love. But when I became a woman, I knew him utterly. So Kali is that power which it comes from Kala, time. So she changes time. That's why when Kali walks, even the gods are terrified because it shifts their positions. They have to keep pace with her. We read in the morning the world soul, the world mother. And if you see, the ages are the footfall of a tread. So that's Krishna and Kali. But as to sadhaks, this he spoke about his own sadhana. And there was a context when a sadhak said, I spontaneously, the name Krishna and Kali comes up within me. I also had a phase like that. He said, it's very good if this is happening. And then he gives this thing about his own sadhana. But otherwise, to the sadhaks, He would only say, turn to the mother, 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 because all four are other aspects of the divine mother. And mother herself was not very particularly fond of Kali's method. And she said that people can't bear it. And she says she rarely uses it on someone who really has that kind of love and who will never will be able to bear it. And one of the sweet stories of Amrita, Arva Mudachari, who lived near Pondicherry, and young boy, 14, 13, he would miss his, immediately after his classes in Kalve College in Pondicherry, he would rush to Sri Aurobindo. And he would speak to Sri Aurobindo for 1 hour. And he describes later on that Sri Aurobindo didn't know Tamil and I didn't know English. And he said, I don't know what Sri Aurobindo was listening. And he developed such a strong, intimate bond that the mother told about Amrita, the first and the last manager of the Sri Aurobindo ashram. Nobody can be like him. And this is the story of we're talking about Mahakali. One day, mother would scold him whenever, you know, and one day she nicely gave him a nice little slap and scolded him tightly, and Amrita is smiling. So people asked him, Amrita, don't you feel ashamed? You are smiling. He says, you know, she loves me so much. She knows that she can do anything with me and I am not going to budge. And she says, has she done this to any of you? No. And she loved him so much and he loved her so much. Want to understand what bhakti is, read Amrita's life, and so full of joy, so full of ecstasy. So there have been some that kind of Kali bhaktas in the ashram, and I would, you know, because people keep noticing my sweet tooth. So once Nishikant, he was a poet and he would get poems descend to him. And very often, he was a poet in Tagore's Vishwabharati. And Tagore was not happy that all the poets go away to Sri Aurobindo. So he tried to stop him. He didn't. So he came and asked Sri Aurobindo, what do you have to say? Tagore is telling me not to go to you, but what do you have to say? He says, see, he has a point. If you stay there, you will become very famous in the world of poetry. And if you come here, within few years, your body will not be able to take up the stress of sadhana and it may crack up. There was so many diseases in his body that he would say, oh, this man is worried about his knee pain. He is worried about his stomach. He should meet me. I am a laboratory of diseases. Such humor. He lived till 88. When he had a paralysis, he asked mother, they took him in a stretcher. And mother asked, what do you want? Nishikant, I am talking of now. He pointed out that keep your foot over my heart. And mother says, he is very intelligent. After that, another 12 years he continued to live. He recovered from that whole thing, stroke. So he would go to this place, lake, with a hadia, that hadi, what is called, a whole big bowl of rasgullas. And he would sit there, eat rasgullas and write poetry, and he was a diabetic. So people complained about him to mother. So mother called him, Nishikant, is it true what I have heard? Yes, mother, it's true. Aren't you afraid? Then he says, mother, should Mahakali's child be afraid? Okay. Okay. So there have been such characters. So Kali and Krishna combination is very powerful, but it's not something mechanically it cannot be done. It's not like, okay, so I'll take a leap in sadhana, so let me do Krishna, Krishna, Kali, Kali. Mother says the mantra has to spring from within. If you try to do it mechanically, it doesn't work. Which includes her own mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate. She spoke of that. She said in another person, it may just leave him cold as turkey. These are her words. So it must spring from within. And later on, Kali method, mother was not very fond of, because it can cause devastating effects. So, and she knew about all this. Someone had got Rudraksh, so mother told him that, look, this is a genuine Rudraksh he held in the hand. Because Rudraksh normally found here and there, she said, no, it has been manifested from the subtle world. But she says, you know what, you must keep Tulsi Mala with it. Because Rudraksh can be devastating. It's eye of Shiva. He says, keep Tulsi Mala, which is Vishnu's, so it'll have a very pacifying effect. So many beautiful, mysterious things. So yes, Krishna and Kali at a stage of sadhana, if it comes naturally, it's fine. Otherwise, for all of us, it's just ma, 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 mother, mother, mother. And she has all of them in her. That's what we find in one of the wonderful works of Sri Aurobindo, The Mother. If one has to read just one book to practice the yoga, its keys, The Mother by Sri Aurobindo. I'll just take one more question which was there, then probably someone that it's a common question people ask. It's about, we hear about the one, but who created the one? Who created God? So Indian spiritual thought has done all this. So basically when we talk about God or created, we are limiting something which cannot be limited, because you know, by the very nature. So birth in Indian thought, in Isha Upanishad, Vladimir will tell us, Sambhuti. Its birth is a limitation. So physical birth is also a limitation. So it's a limitation of the formless into name and form. So infinite becomes finite through the process of birth. And therefore you define it by name and form. So God as Sachidanand, the one. So you have, in a certain sense, of course it's not limited, but there is an effort of the human mind to limit him. So they raise the question, where did this come from? So the answer which works is infinite, formless infinite. Now, the moment you use the word formless infinite, there cannot be, the logic of birth doesn't apply, because it's by its nature. Birth means to limit. So infinite is not limited. It's not born, though it can assume all the births. So that's the whole logic, that the origin, if you want to put it now more technically, the origin, the source is infinite. And it can be understood very logically also, because there is no dimension of space and time to start with. And no power that can limit it, power that Maya comes later. So even purely logically, one can arrive at this conclusion. So Indian thought used a very interesting word, Sat. So Sat is the true existent. Where does it come from? That the one existent. So it uses the word, there is a word used either Asat. Asat is not falsehood. Asado Masa, not that one. That which is not existent, you know, it's a. And there is another term they use for it, that, well, we cannot speak anything, so tat, that. And where is tat and sat? So they went even beyond it and spoke of just om, tat, sat. That's how we have the mantra in the Gita. So basically, it is infinite. Now, the moment we use the word infinite, birth, it doesn't apply. The logic of birth doesn't apply. How that infinite came, it doesn't apply there. The question stops there. It is, it was, and it will be. That's the only human mind term. But yes, it is experience. It can be experienced. One can identify with it. One can experience the changes that take place as a result of this identification. This is given to every finite, and especially to man, that he can, the finite human being can join with the infinite and undergo all the changes and express in life. Beyond this, it cannot be known. So it is regarded as the unknowable, yet the unknowable is not like, you cannot know with the human mind, but you can either merge, you can come in contact with it, you can express, but you cannot define it. The moment you define, that's where birth applies, it loses. That's when mother had written on the a staircase to Sri Aurobindo, cling to truth. So people started telling her, Mother, you have written cling to truth, but this man is in falsehood. They even started quoting Sri Aurobindo's letter. Do not imagine that truth and falsehood can stay together. Mother, Sri Aurobindo has written it and she laughs. What jokers could be there? She says each one has his own shibboleth and he thinks he is in truth and the other is in falsehood. So this is how it went on, and then the disciple says, okay, but then what is truth? We can't define it. She says, you cannot define it. If you define it, you will limit it. So what is truth? She said the only term that comes closest to it is dharma. She says that truth cannot be defined, but if you are sincere about knowing it and living it, it will manifest itself to you. That's the only thing we can say. It will express itself through the impulsion in the heart, through the guidance, because this is the seat of dharma. So this is how she said. But the moment you define it, you create a religion, you create an ideology, you create a system, which may be okay to navigate in life. There's nothing wrong, I mean, evolutionary stages. And each one can define in his own way, that's okay. But if you ask what is the ultimate reality, it is indefinable. Ineffable, that's how it is called. So that's the closest answer.